So, are you guys ready to start this thing?
Yes.
Welcome to This Is Only a Test. This is episode 31, recorded on October 7th, 2010.
This cannot be episode 31.
31?
Wow.
You fucked up my intro, though. I gotta play the... I wasn't ready to hit the music. I was distracted. Music now. Here today with me, as always, is Norman Chan.
Hello.
And joining Norman on the wooden IKEA table this week.
In the 9 o'clock position.
Well, hold on. Depends on whether I'm noon or I'm 6.
You're
or 9.
Three.
Why? I think I should be noon because I have
no,
a computer.
I am 6.
Nobody's at noon.
Why is nobody at noon?
No one is at noon. Because noon is no one minus an E.
That's true.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not.
Bad wordplay. Hi,
wait,
everybody.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Anna's
noon
here.
Noon is N-O-O-N.
Uh-huh. And no one is N-O-O-N-E.
I said that's what noon is, no one minus an E.
There's a space, though. It's minus an E and a space. Mm-hmm. This is the worst opening ever. Hey, guys. So, exciting week this week. We got to see all sorts of awesome stuff last night. We've been testing some crazy and poopy stuff. And all sorts of good stuff to talk about this week on This Is Only Test. So, let's just jump right into it with... you know what I like to call the Minecraft corner.
Are we really doing a Minecraft segment first off?
No.
People are going to think it's Minecraft hour.
We'll save Minecraft for the very end. Minecraft outtakes will be nothing but Minecraft.
And now the Minecraft fans are going to be really angry at me for making them wait.
Fake Minecraft.
Sorry, guys.
Outtakes. Okay, so let's see. First off, people have been asking questions about the MakerBot. So this is site housekeeping. MakerBot is... temporarily broken, possibly due to some technical errors on my part, but also due to the fact that it is really hard to find solder that melts above 220 degrees Celsius, which is the operating temperature of the printhead. So I've got a couple of new heating elements coming that should help us fix the problems that we've been having with it. And we'll be back in business, I hope, for next week. But we have something special.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, for this week's.
It's something I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, I had to explain it.
Yeah.
Like a couple of times it seemed like.
A box.
Yeah.
It's another box, and something comes out of it, much like the MakerBot, but plastic things
equally,
don't come
equally
out
things
of it.
Are awesome.
This one seems like it's a lot more fun, ultimately. Yeah. I mean, I think the MakerBot's pretty fun.
I do, too. It depends if you think fun is, like, getting toys together and, you know, putting together little moves with the friends with them, or if you think fun is having a party and getting crunked.
Yes.
I am probably leaning towards the former.
I would say that I probably haven't been crunked much, but
since September 9th, 2010. I think we have video evidence of the opposite.
Yes. Okay. So my crunkiness aside, let's see. This week, we did spend a lot of time with Apple TV, the new one, finally.
Has one of you guys been using it at home?
I have it at home, and I've been using it.
Have you been using it?
Yes.
Is it everything you dreamed it would be?
No.
Is it a giant piece of shit? Somewhere in between.
I'm not going to use language that harsh until the review.
Okay. I like that until the review.
And then it's the article headline.
So I mean, I had an adventure with it. I took it home thinking, oh, I'm going to plug it into my TV, use the same inputs and stuff that I've been using right now. I mean, I knew in the back of my head that it was HDMI only and that I don't have HDMI on my TV because I have an old TV.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got home and I tried to plug it in, it just didn't turn on at all. I realized that not only did it need to have HDMI, it also needs to have HDCP, it seems.
What's that?
HDCP is the thing that encrypts the signal as it goes across the cable.
Okay.
So rather than just send an unencrypted digital signal that would be really relatively easy to rip with the appropriate box.
Oh, I see.
They encrypt it with some, you know, to protect the content from us, the users.
Apple really hates... doing their own
everyone,
stuff.
Everyone does it.
Everyone does it.
Like,
yeah,
Blu-ray games.
So PlayStation does it.
I know.
Yeah, Xbox doesn't. I think, but as soon as you start playing content, they do. My hunch would be that Apple probably was forced to do it for the movie studios, and then it's just easier to leave it on all the time than to switch it on and off.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
far, I can tell you, it's pretty useless unless you are already very heavily invested in the Apple ecosystem, meaning you have a lot of stuff on iTunes.
Hmm. Well, can you? But you can like rip. You can put Handbrake movies onto it and stream them to
iTunes,
stuff like that.
It has to be in iTunes.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, you, using iTunes as a server, especially if you use a PC as the server, is probably the jankiest thing ever. Yeah. I think because like it crashes.
Plus,
and
iTunes
hangs up
won't
for no
import
apparent reason.
Unless it's files that it recognizes.
Right, and it doesn't convert. The nice thing is there is actually now a watch folder in iTunes. I don't know if you knew this. We should put this on the site actually. But if you go into your iTunes music folder, somewhere buried deep in there, there's a there's a folder actually labeled something like "Watch here for new content." So if you want to get real tricky, what you can do is put your Amazon or whatever other stores you use to buy music into that folder by default, and then they'll just automatically get loaded into iTunes the next time you start the computer. Which has always been one of my complaints, because I feel like, you know, if you dump your music into the structure, then your jukebox software should just kind of be like, oh, hey, there's some new albums here. Let's see what's going on.
I thought I always had that. No. I know Zune has that.
Well, Zune, of course, has that. Windows Media Player has that. Music Match Jukebox had that in 2001. Winamp did that. I mean, every other piece of software that does this
super lame
will do that. But on iTunes, you have to like drag it into the library with a mouse movement, which is super lame.
So, Norm, even though you have your iPhone, you don't regularly use iTunes to route all of your
video? No, I don't use iTunes to watch any video usually, and I don't index any of my videos in iTunes.
Well, yeah, because I mean iTunes is really bad if your movies don't have metadata. It doesn't work very well. You have to go through and then manually add all the metadata.
Plus, they'll need to be MP4s, and you need to rip them a certain way to be optimized. But it does work very fairly well as a rental system. We're talking about Apple TV now. As a TV rental system, watching TV shows from last week, super easy.
Or last night.
Yeah, the night before.
Yeah, I it's interesting. I saw they added some new providers too, like Food TV is on there now, which is novel. Do you feel like you could get rid of cable and you just use this?
I don't watch TV much anyway. I could. It is because my TV is bigger than my computer monitor. It is more enjoyable to stream something like an episode of 30 Rock from last week than if I wanted to pirate it and then move it over to my WDTV and then put it on my big TV. So, hold on for one second.
We have a guest.
I have a delivery from Cafe Joey.
Special guest appearance.
Oh man.
Cafe Joey making a special delivery. Wow, that is a lot of coffee.
Hey, it's Joey, who's now my Facebook friend.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, hey. Hey, friend.
Hey.
Say hello.
Hey, Will. Hey, friend.
Hey, Joey.
Joey, you got a lot of supporters for Droid fans on our Kopi Luwak coffee video.
Nice. Well, Droid kicks ass.
And we should
Droid users fetching coffee for iPhone users every day.
Oh,
snap. That was uncalled for.
First it was New Zealand, then it was Australia, now it's Joey.
Yeah. And Joey's Droid awesome. Users in general.
Yes.
This is the Savannah Organic whatever coffee.
Oh, this was sent by October Media, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So I tried all those. They're all great.
Cool. Yeah, the pecan stuff with the pecans actually in there. I tried it, and it was – well, I'm not generally a fan of the flavored coffees.
It's not sweet. It's not
– This was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ernest, thank you so much.
All right. No problem.
Bye, Joey.
Hey, would you get me like a gin and tonic when you have a chance?
don't do it.
See you, Joey. Okay, so what were we talking about? Apple TV.
Apple TV.
So you're not getting rid of cable.
Here's the thing, and this is actually a point made by Wired's Chris Anderson in his now infamous story, "The Web Is Dead." When you are young, you have a lot of time and not a lot of money, and so the time.
Oh, come on! This is not something. Don't attribute it, Chris. This is an old
so
idea.
What is this?
When you are young, when you're in your early 20s, you have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And you don't like to pay for things.
Yeah.
And so pirating content and downloading content and getting it all in all your and transcoding stuff, no problem. You have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Now I don't have a lot of time at all. And it
you're
really
still in your 20s.
I mean, now my
he's approaching his late 20s now.
Approaching. Okay. I can see it on the horizon, the late 20s.
Okay.
And I would rather, using the Apple TV, it was much easier to just say, oh, I want to see 30 Rock, hit play.
And like 10 seconds later.
And then it was literally 5-10 seconds later, it was playing, streaming, and I watched them. Okay, I'm done. Because I realized I have a folder of like 30 Rock episodes I may or may not have downloaded that I watched once and never do anything with.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the what's the word that means Anyway, the tricky thing about about the Apple stuff and purchasing stuff online is that, you know, once you do it, you realize, wow, it is so much. Sure, I could save a buck or two, but it is so much easier to just mash the button and then not have to worry about whether you got the right codecs and whether it's going to play on your box in the living room or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I would much rather – I mean, I realized this during the music pirating days because I kept downloading music that – you know, in the Napster days, you would go on to Napster and you'd download a really terrible
– Oh, you got like 7 different versions of one song just to find the right song.
Yeah.
And even with video these days, you're going to have the watermark.
Right.
You're not the – you know, I mean,
it's
sure.
Just not, I mean, it's not worth the hassle unless so your time is really low value.
And someone's going to say, oh, you can – you know, if you're – really savvy, you can use RSS feeds and have it automatically download. And then if you have a convoluted system, you can have that stream to your TV. Yes, absolutely. And that will be faster than Apple TV, but you're still pirating and it is still a convoluted system.
I have a question about Apple TV as it relates to like a alternative to cable. How much does cable at this point cost a month? Anybody know?
Like 100, 120 bucks if you have HBO and
seriously?
HD. Like if you have HD and you have a couple of cable boxes because you have two TVs.
Okay.
Or you have like a TiVo with some cable cards.
Well,
with
the bare minimum then.
Let's just say we have a TiVo, I want cable, I want HBO.
Okay,
I only
so
have one TV in my 15
house. 15 bucks a month for TiVo.
Okay.
$5 a month to the cable company for each of two cable cards. So that's $10 more for TiVo alone.
Okay.
HD option for Comcast, which I would assume is between $10 and $15 more again.
Okay.
So we're at $35.
Yeah.
Plus $60 probably for basic cable now,
damn,
right?
Damn, yo. Really? That's nuts. I haven't had cable in a long time.
Gina pays our cable bill, so
all right,
I don't know.
Well, let's just assume it's something like that. So it seems like Apple TV as an alternative to cable is really smart because it's just a flat fee of $100.
Okay.
Right?
No, but then you pay for content.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
you know,
but you're paying all
the card. If you're paying that much money, because like the funny thing is, you know, like sort of in the last, I don't know, like 15 years, the idea was like, oh, we have more and more cable channels. Oh my God, there's 1,000 channels. It's amazing. But but everybody clearly very quickly realized we hate that. It's horrible. And you're paying for all this crap you are never going to watch.
Well, so here's the
I like programming. I like having being able to surf.
Well,
see, I don't ever surf.
Really?
Because I've been using a PBR
anymore.
For 10 years.
I do surf, but I don't get any enjoyment out of it anymore.
Oh, finding a surprise playing of, you know, Wrath of Khan, just, oh my God, it's playing right now.
Dude, you have Wrath of Khan on DVD.
No, it doesn't matter if I have it on DVD. If it's playing and it's already like 10 minutes into the movie, I'm compelled to watch.
This is indicative of Norm's psychoses, not.
But now you can surf the browsers.
No, I don't like making decisions.
It's not the same.
Have you ever surfed the
don't like making decisions.
I like surfing the Netflix browser thing.
See, same thing with Hulu.
Yeah.
You can go on Hulu or on the Netflix list, and you can stare at the list for hours and not watch anything.
Yeah, literally, Gina and I have fired up Netflix Instant Queue and been like, let's see what we can find something to watch. And then like 45 minutes later, we're like, fuck, we just played Menu Hero for an hour.
But you know what? I wish it was more like Guitar Hero. I wish they would play as you went along, because then it would be like TV where you can just tune in any time.
You're like 3 years off.
What do you mean? I'm 3 years off.
That's 3 years in the future.
Oh, well, see, I'm 3 years ahead.
Yes.
Is, I think, what you guys meant.
So, I mean, here's the thing about Apple TV that you can't get that you don't really think about. Because we like, Gina and I sat down, went through the whole process. Like, what would we lose? What, you know, we'd save $120 a month, easy.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we'd lose. You lose the ability to watch stuff on the night that it airs.
Yeah.
Which is
sucks.
But that's not that big a deal because we
TiVo
shit anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, we hardly ever watch stuff on the night that it's actually on TV.
Sure.
You lose like live TV. So you lose sports. You lose.
What's that?
Okay, not applicable, but like during college football season, I like to watch an occasional ball game.
Uh-huh.
You lose live TV, like news, and you lose the Today Show.
Oh,
you lose CNN and shit like that.
Okay. That's bad. Well,
not that big
not
a deal. But if you're like, it's like if you're used to like coming out and making your coffee, having the Today Show on in the morning while you're like waiting for the dog to take a crap.
Right.
Like, it turns out that that's something that is not a wife friendly sacrifice.
Interesting.
And then the last thing that's kind of big is you lose that ability to just turn on shit and leave it on in the background. So like on Sunday, if we're cooking something or just kind of farting around the house.
Yeah.
Put on the Food Channel, see what's going on. If something interesting pops up, you go over and watch for 5 minutes. Like, you lose the pure just filling
network.
The room with noise.
Farting around the house.
Right?
Farting around the house.
But what about network?
This is an old person problem, I guess.
What about network TV?
Yeah, network's a pain in the ass.
I have network. It's not bad.
Why is Kuhn standing outside the door just staring at us?
Why is everybody dropping in on us today?
Hey, Sean.
What up, Coots?
Special guest star, Sean Coots.
The only reason...
Do you have coffee? Do you have coffee?
No.
Joey brought gifts.
So I just moved.
Be nice to Coots.
And I'm going through the exact same kind of conundrum.
Our soundproof booth apparently is not as soundproof as we thought it was.
We're going to take a brief pause and add Mr. Coots to the conversation.
Yeah.
How
are
we doing?
Hold on. And we're back. So Sean, you just moved, right? You're going through this whole thing right now.
Just moved.
This is Sean Coots of the fabled Whiskey Media Top Men, just to be clear. So everybody knows who we're talking to here.
The tallest of the top men.
Yes, the tallest.
You might have seen him in some of our videos.
He's the toppest of the top men. And nobody wears a glue-on mustache like Sean Coots.
So, no, we just moved, and we're trying to figure out, do we do just cable internet?
Yeah.
Right? And do we do like a boxy kind of solution? I already have an Apple TV.
Right.
And plug that in and... kind of see how that works. Again, just like you guys were talking about, though, sports, I think, is the biggest
sports
thing.
is the ass kicker.
Right.
But you have an Xbox, though, right?
I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, the ESPN3 thing is the big wild card in this.
Right.
Because that could potentially bring sports into your home.
Well, you know what? It is.
Some sports.
Right, exactly. So, like, and that's, we watch SportsCenter every once in a while. The biggest thing, I think, would be NFL. And yeah. I guess the ticket comes through. If you have the ticket, you can get it streaming to...
I don't know how you were talking about Sunday Ticket, yeah. Right? I'm not sure how that all works. I know that there's supposed to be an online solution for DirecTV subscribers in the not too distant future.
Right.
I don't know how that affects people who are on Comcast and Time Warner and all the other cable providers.
Right. In fact, I was going to pull you guys aside at lunch today and see, because I was actually thinking like Mac Mini, do I go that route?
Yeah.
And use that as like a media, in the living room kind of solution.
We've talked about this a lot. I know that like Mike has experimented with it and has kind of just caved and went back to getting cable like last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that Gina and I found, because we talked about it a lot too, and we kind of did like a dry run without actually canceling the cable, but just like unplugging the box and okay. Seeing how it went for the week. Basically, the stuff you it turns out you probably have the TV on a lot more than you think you do.
Yeah.
Like whether it's the Food Channel on Sunday or football games on – like even on Saturday. Like this Saturday, I'll probably watch one football game. And I know this is wasteful and bad and all that stuff. But I'll have the rest of the games run in the background while I'm doing stuff around the house all day. Just, kind of as a really expensive radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that – yeah, it's kind of sad how much – it makes you realize like, it's such a comforting –
it's there all the time.
Yeah.
Through totally. My life, through thick and thin, good and bad. I've always had TV.
So like you were saying, though, like it's nice because TV, you turn it on and programming is instantly – that's the problem with the Netflix thing. It's like you spend all this time going through like, do I want to sit through this whole movie? I don't really want to watch this whole thing. You were saying if you turn it on and something's just kind of playing.
Yeah. If all the little movies had quips going on or they just had random points,
No. I want no
like
choice.
In the first 20 minutes.
No what? Choice.
No choice.
Norm wants to hit the stuff you'll like button and have it just play something.
Well, that would be cool too.
I mean, it needs instant play.
Function.
Yeah.
Like, but instant play.
No.
They should have
– if you turn it on, it should already – like, a movie plays and that's it.
You think it should read your mind?
It shouldn't even give you a list. Once you have choice, then you're spending hours thinking about the choice.
And you
regretting
don't.
It afterward, right?
So but you want to go back to 1953.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
Three channels, maybe even two. I think they only had two channels
just
back
get
then.
Network. That's why I like network, because it limits the choice and you can usually find something not terrible. Well, it's all pretty
That's
terrible.
A glowing, ringing endorsement right there.
All TV is
well,
terrible.
No. See,
you can watch the event.
I get back.
With
cable, even if you have like 100 channels, right, there's a choice between that. But you can always switch between channels, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix, you can't do that. If you're starting a movie, you're committed to that one movie, you can't like say, in the middle, I want to switch to a different movie. And
but you can.
You can't watch two movies at once, really.
No, the time commitment is much more in your face than flipping channels.
Well, it's that's true. But the thing is, after using a PVR for a long time, I find I never, ever flip channels anymore because it's always faster to go to the guide, see what's on like in the list,
mm-hmm.
and just click directly onto the thing rather than like wait for the box to change channels, wait for the box to change channels, wait for the box to change channels.
Yeah.
Because like with the rise of digital cable, it's not like you can just go up and grab the knob and yank the shit out of that thing and click around really fast.
So that's the thing too, because we had DirecTV at the last place.
Yes.
And the remote was – snappy, sometimes it would bog down. I don't understand why they don't put like just a little bit more power. Is it cheap?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not going over the network. That's not the issue. It's the box itself.
It's that there's part of it's the antennas. So, with the newer antennas, like the actual tuning into a different channel thing is all electronic. which you think would be faster, but it turns out maybe not.
Uh-huh.
And if you have like a complex DirecTV install, especially where you have like a bunch of multiplexers and stuff like that, then that signal's got to go like four different places. And, you know, it's really, really, it's kind of a complex problem. But the bigger problem is that they're all doing, you know, some form of MPEG compression now. So there's actually a processing cost.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, they use the cheapest kind of embedded processors they can get, because saving 35 cents on each of those boxes, if they put 100 million of those boxes right out there, then that's a lot of money.
Right.
So, so yeah.
Okay.
TV Corner.
Are you guys just talking about all of the different solutions right now? I'm sorry, I came in.
No, no, we're just talking about Apple TV right now, because we had hands-on with the new one last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, continue on. I'm going to
thank you, sir.
Tune in.
Oh, very good.
Yep.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Carry on.
See you, Sean.
See you, Sean.
Later.
Okay, taking another brief pause to take Sean out. Oh, I can just turn the volume down. Okay, so I think we've talked about Apple TV for like a half hour now.
Yeah. I do have – this is not Apple TV. This is a
bring it.
Aside.
Do it. Let me hear.
Do you think that iTunes will change its name sometime in the near future? Because it doesn't want to just be tuned. It wants to be all sorts of stuff.
I think they should just change it to $, because that's what Apple looks at that as.
Yeah.
Norm's playing Words with Friends now. We've gone we're through the looking glass.
I'm not playing
here.
Words with Friends.
Okay. No, the basically the thing with I think that it would make sense for them to change it to like iStore or something like that. Yeah. I don't know that they
iStore.
Will.
iStore.
It's a terrible name, but it's better than iPad.
iMarket, iBazaar.
Right. Apple has a long history of Sam
Goody.
Doing really obvious, really bad names
iBlockbuster.
That people get really adjusted to. You know. Comfortable with iPad. It's a terrible name.
The iPod is really no longer a pod.
iPod is no longer a product.
What do you think this isn't a pod? It's not podding. Like
I don't even know why it was ever a pod.
Yeah, what's a pod?
It's a group of whales swimming through the ocean together.
Something that you get small vegetables out of?
That's what peas come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought. It also is something that people come out of.
There's also a band called Priest of Destruction or Discord or something like that. Cool. Some death metal band.
Okay.
Yeah, so good talk. Hands on. Speaking of things that rhyme with pod in a not at all way, we had hands on time with the Galaxy Tab, the 7-inch tablet from Samsung last night.
Let's talk about that.
You know, I turned Anna down instead of you. You've been muted this whole time. Anna.
No,
sorry.
God damn it!
I forgot that you're on 6 and not 5.
That's okay. You can cut that.
Anna said all sorts of interesting things just then that you guys missed.
Did you guys just get half a conversation? It was like, wow, that other half sounds really
interesting. Yeah, someone made a Invasion of the Body Snatchers joke, and so we're talking about iPods, and someone asked about, you know,
we're talking about
why is this not a pod. And
right, Anna wanted to know if the iStore was going to be called the iTunes Music Store forever, if it was going to be called the iTunes Store.
Yeah, that was a lot of silence right there.
Boy, it sounds horribly boring when you say it like that, but really it was pretty entertaining.
It was a pretty good conversation, I mean, all told, all things considered. So
Tab.
Yeah, the Galaxy Tab.
It's not just for drinking anymore.
It's a 7-inch Android tablet brought to you
by Samsung.
We have a video on the site right now.
Yes.
I was – the thing I took out of that – out of especially that one, because the Arcos ones are always a little bit kind of JV compared to the – to real Android stuff. But the Galaxy, like, that, it was awesome. I mean, it's a nice size.
Yeah.
The thing is – I think it's more of a consumption – like everybody – the knock against the iPad is that it's a consumption device. But those 7-inch tablets are going to be super-duper consumption devices.
What's wrong with a consumption device?
I actually found it easier, so much easier to type on the Galaxy Tab than I have ever felt like typing with the iPad holding it in the air.
100%.
It's smaller.
Yeah.
You can – your thumbs reach
your thumbs
all the way
are closer.
Across.
It's so much lighter. You don't feel like it's going to fall over. And the big thing is the one-handed holding. One-handed holding with typing – so much easier.
My thumb has gotten incredibly strong at this point. But the thing about this is, I'm just saying because it's a 16:9 screen, so it's wider, narrow and tall.
Yeah.
It is narrow and tall.
I don't think it's going to be particularly good for web browsing. I think it's going to be great for watching movies.
The browser is actually the worst part of that.
Right.
The Android browser is still
pretty shitty.
Slow in terms of like zooming.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fast. In that it's close to an Android phone and it's higher resolution than most Android
phones.
It's
actually faster than – I mean it was faster than the Galaxy S phone that I use.
Right, and it's higher resolution. So that's an achievement in itself, but it cannot compare to browsing a web page on the iPad. But if you believe that the web is dead and apps are the way to go, the app speed on the Galaxy Tab, very, very – easy to use.
Is it Wi-Fi only?
No. It's going to be carry only. There will be a Wi-Fi version. They haven't officially announced yet.
They
did say a Wi-Fi version will come out maybe a couple months, maybe Q1 next year. This holiday, it will be carrier only. Tidy carriers with subsidies.
I'll be interested to see if they let you pay full price without a contract. Because a tablet device with a always-on wireless network, another $40 a month that I have to pay, mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
Well, no, that's why they're going to sell a Wi-Fi version. They will absolutely sell a Wi-Fi version.
I think that part of the appeal of the 3G iPad is that you can turn that on and off when you need it. So when you go on vacation, you flip it on.
Contract-free, I mean.
Yeah, I don't want to have a contract tied to a tablet.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to buy these this Christmas if you have to have a contract.
I don't think they will be a... A buy-as-you-go plan. I think it'll be a contract.
Right. So I think they're going to sell like 8 of them.
That's unfortunate.
The other interesting thing is it didn't seem like there was no internet sharing. So they didn't do the mobile hotspot functionality. It wasn't in there, which is part of Froyo and is optional. Mm-hmm. Although that could just be the pre-release one that we were looking at yesterday. And the screen looked pretty good.
Screen looks good. Viewing angle, it's not IPS. It's TFT. But viewing angle is good. Very bright. It did feel a little thick.
It looked thick
because it's only 7-inch. I think it's not really much thicker than the iPad, but it's not as beveled.
Here's the thing: it looked thick, but when you put it in your hand, it actually felt right.
Felt good.
Because the iPad is one of the reasons the iPad's hard to hold one handed is it's a little bit thin.
And it's sharp on the edge. Yeah. All their stuff sharp. Do you guys ever use your MacBook and like it cuts into your wrist?
I've actually cut envelopes open with the edge of my MacBook before. I was thinking about getting it sharpened so I could use it as a weapon.
The other thing that you notice relative to size and weight is that though it's light, it does feel very plasticky. It does not feel sturdy.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you a secret about plastic. When you drop plastic, it doesn't typically explode.
It does not explode, but it will scratch up very easily.
My God.
Oh, look, that would have destroyed an iPhone.
Will just dropped his phone.
It's also a Samsung.
I mean, carrying the plastic phone around instead of the glass and metal phone, it's a lot lighter. I feel much less concerned about dropping it and stuff like that. And I think as a result, I drop it less.
Sure. Man, that would have been really funny if that phone broke.
If it had exploded, I would have been like, oh, man.
Minor mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
I think the iPad now feels like comically large and heavy now that I've actually gotten to hold a 7-inch tablet.
Well, the thing that the iPad did that doesn't is – A, after using the Froyo browser some, because I put Froyo on my Captivate last week, which was – maybe we should talk about that too. But the browser is not as good as – I mean, Mobile Safari definitely has some problems, but the Android browser has bigger problems.
That's too bad.
I mean, it's definitely something that Google's aware of and is working on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, whether that's out in time for it to help this product, I really think that this is a reader, a media player, assuming they get a better media player than the one that ships with Android, because it's not very good either.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to be a great reader.
And Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent reader. You know, Instapaper on a Galaxy Tab will be awesome.
I was about to say, we saw that awesome new technology, that like e-ink.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
And the other thing is I think that there's actually a version of like the popular iPhone reader apps like Reader and Flipboard are also coming to Android too.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, those are interesting for that type of device. Yeah. The takeaway from seeing this and the Arcos, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the Arcos because it's, I mean, 10-inch, 7-inch, 4-inch. Watch the video. It'll be up tomorrow maybe.
Soon. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's well, probably. Tomorrow, definitely.
Yeah,
by the time you hear this, later today.
The 7-inch tablet is a much more compelling size than I thought when thinking about what a 7-inch tablet was going to be.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, let's see what else have we done this week. We tasted the poop coffee. That video is on the site right now. You should check it out. Search for a civet.
Nutty and Ford, what was it? What was the
Ford tasting?
Tongue. Ford tasting. What does that even mean?
Well, it means that you taste it on the front of your mouth, and you really do. You taste coffee at the front of your mouth, which is kind of a new experience.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that coffee tasted very much like coffee.
I did.
I like a really rich, chocolatey, dark.
Sure.
Not a huge fan of the coffee.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not worth the kind of money that they charge for poop coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But thanks again for Stephen for sending it in.
Oh, yeah. Well, it made us a great video, and everybody really enjoyed
super interesting.
the novelty of the whole thing.
Yes. And Drew got to continue tasting weird shit, yes, which is always something he
literally
likes. So, okay, Arcos tablets we've talked about. Let's get into the new announcements this week. It's been kind of a big week. I'm gonna play a sound clip now, ooh, I think, because that's kind of what I do at this point. So Logitech and Google unveiled something this week.
I think it's something that has been announced for a long, long, long time, but finally we have launch details. Logitech officially debuted the Review.
The what?
Review.
What's a review?
The new Zoo Review. R-E-V-U-E. It is their set-top box running
French
Google
women
TV.
Dancing,
yeah, I know,
knickers?
Right? That's crazy. Why is it called the Review? Like a 1940s Weimar cabaret review. I wonder what you.
Norm's shaking his head in disgust right now.
Whatever. We're just having some fun with linguistics.
Okay, Norm. Review is Google TV, right?
Review is Google TV. Now, I don't know. I mean, we've seen the videos that Google's put out, but I don't think anyone really knows what the heck Google TV does.
No.
I know it has IR blasters and it works with my existing providers.
What does that mean?
What's an IR blaster?
Explain Google TV. Someone explain it to me in two sentences.
Oh, no. This game again. Okay. Google TV is a thing that you plug into your cable box and then it brings internet to your TV and makes finding programming and things to watch easier.
How is that not an Apple TV?
Apple TV does not plug into your existing cable box and use your existing cable services as part of its plan.
So Google TV is a set-top box is an intermediary between your cable, your existing cable content.
Okay. Yeah.
And your television.
Okay. I already have a thing that does that. It's called TiVo.
So you can't even dump your cable once you've got this thing?
No, you need cable.
That's
all it does. It's unclear.
It processes.
Hold on, that's unclear.
Sorts and searches, lets you search your cable content.
Wow.
In addition to
bringing
internet content also.
The thing that I don't get is they're charging money for this.
Yeah. So right now, the box, okay, Logitech Review, will be $300.
Yes. What?
$300.
That's more than a TiVo.
That's three Apple TVs.
Three Apple TVs.
And you have to keep your cable.
But you get keep your cable. If you are a Dish Network subscriber.
Ooh, I love keeping cable.
If you're a Dish Network subscriber, it'll only cost you $180 with an additional monthly cost.
And a two-year contract, I'm sure.
Additional monthly cost. So
wait, there's
but a two-year contract
too,
as well. That's important.
There's also the mini controller.
So I'll show you what comes with the $300 package.
Okay, cool.
If you pay $300, which you can pre-order right now, what you get is a set-top box, which has two HDMI ports. One is HDMI in and one is HDMI out. HDMI in, they can give you one HDMI cable.
No, so generous.
One, they give you half the number
of
HDMI cables.
You already have one, though.
I guess you're
because it goes from the HDMI.
You have one already. Yeah.
But why? I mean,
so you plug from your cable box, whether it's Dish Network or Comcast, to the Review, the Google TV, and then output that to your TV or to your receiver, and then receiver goes to TV. What it does is then with IR blasters, it can control your Dish Network.
Okay.
It can control.
Well, if you have a Dish, I don't think you need IR blasters. I think it speaks to Dish over HDMI.
Okay. Well, then it can directly control your cable box or your whatever provider you have to program content. You can search with Google.
When you say program content, you mean change the channel and record some shit.
Yes, I mean change the channel. And schedule.
So do what TiVo does.
Basically, do what TiVo does, but also get internet. Like search integration,
so you can see YouTube.
So there are overlays, so you can do YouTube, and you can get all the crazy chat on Twitter while watching the show stuff, and apps.
Cool.
So there will be Google TV apps that you can download. So you do plug in Ethernet also.
They're charging $25 a month for this.
I don't think there's a monthly cost.
I
did not read anywhere where there's a monthly
maybe
cost.
Okay, you're right. There's not. I was thinking of the Yumi.
God,
so
there's no.
That'd be ridiculous. So no monthly cost. It's complete. Cool. It's an enhancement of your existing TV watching experience. Cool. Also bringing YouTube and stuff, internet content to your TV.
You know, I can have YouTube on Apple TV now and on my TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times I've used that?
None. I don't think anyone watches. Well, that's Google's argument. No one likes watching YouTube on TV because there's no easy way to browse and search. So they've spent a lot of time. Google, of all companies, spending a lot of time on interface design to make it internet videos much more accessible. And I think what we'll see is a lot of like these bookmark type services where if you're on your computer and you're browsing or on your phone and like there's a video
Chrome
clip,
phone.
Right? Yeah, you click, oh, this is a cool YouTube clip, but I don't have the bandwidth right now, or I don't want to watch it. Save for later. And then once you're on your Google TV, it'll log into your account and you'll have your whole queue of content.
Is this Google trying to figure out a way to make money with YouTube?
Maybe.
I'm sure
they'll have strategic partnerships with content providers. So you'll have.
Are you listening, Google? We are ready to be a content provider. We provide content. That's
you cool. can subscribe to the Whiskey Media channel on Google TV.
This product, I mean, it's decidedly unexciting to me because I don't think they're going to PVR better than TiVo. Nobody else has yet. I don't want to see what people are saying on Twitter about Big Brother when I'm watching Big Brother because.
You don't.
The people who are watching Big Brother with me are probably – it's not a topic I mentioned. I think that this is going to be one of Google's biggest failures yet. I can't imagine – as soon as I hear IR Blaster, as somebody who has used IR Blasters in the past, they never work.
Here's
right.
the thing. I think it's going to be a failure because you see right now is a extra $300 expenditure on a set-top box with lots of wiring seems very unnecessary.
Well, but – and even more than that, the people who will spend $300 on that already have TiVo boxes, and I guarantee you this isn't going to work with TiVo.
So what happens 2 years from now, 3 years from now, is that it's going to be built into every TV, and it'll just be functionality that we expect. It's really to compete with the Yahoo widgets and all that other smart TV services.
But okay, fair enough. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
You know, weather. You're turning your TV into an ambient computing device.
Does your house not have windows? Are you in some sort of dungeon basement?
I want this on my literal windows.
I can get weather
windows.
On everything. I can get it on the fucking toaster at
but
this point.
If you are someone with TV always on, like if you're, you know, on your fart Sundays or cooking
Sundays. I know what I'm doing this weekend.
And leaving your football game on. Right, and in the kitchen, and yes. you go and look out to your.
I have a window in my kitchen, you know.
And then you look out to your or look to your TV.
Yes,
and you get all your tweet updates and your weather and your.
I have a phone
that
for that.
Make any sense. You don't want to look at your TV and see all these little tiny widgets going on your TV. You're like, get that shit out of here. You want to pull.
Have
out
you not seen
device.
Iron Man? That's all he does.
I have, but it's not real. You want to.
Everybody's
wanna,
making swooshing gestures
I'm
with their
say
hands
right
now.
People want to have a separate device for that. It's not the friendly single box. They want to pull out their phone.
You can buy the Sony Dash.
Tablet.
Here's the thing. Maybe. This is not
that on that either.
This is not the friendly single box. So with all the connections, it's going to be a nightmare to hook up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Eventually, it'll be built into your TV.
Well, in that case, when that happens, it will be magical and wonderful, and everybody will be happy. But even then, you'll still have a cable box or a dish box. Or something
okay,
like.
So
anyway,
continuing on, Logitech obviously. Thinking because they're first out of the gate with us and they're doing all the press right now, they can charge, ass loads.
They're charging Apple prices.
Right? So $300 for this.
That's a lot
this
of money.
Box. What you get also is a keyboard, which they're also selling separately for $99.
Oh, boy.
They're going to sell another small control keyboard for $130.
Really?
Is that the mini controller?
That the mini controller,
that's
mini
separate.
Keyboard
that's,
is separate for $130. And they're selling a webcam that you'll be able to connect to your Logitech Review so you can do web conferencing and telepresence.
You know what I was thinking I needed more of in my living room? Keyboards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you know what's better than like fucking A. That's just ridiculous. This needs touch interface and gestures and all sorts of crazy future stuff. Until we have that, this is never going to work.
Hello, Batman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello, Batman.
Speaking of video conferencing, Cisco... Something that I got demoed, I think, 3 years ago now.
Cisco, creators of
the internet, basically. Yeah,
the internet and web conferencing software for everything.
But mostly they make routers. So they're always looking for new ways to absorb bandwidth.
They make the routers that you can't afford and that you don't use.
Right. They make the ones that your ISP wants to upgrade to because they're nice, expensive stuff. So Cisco's had this telepresence thing that they've sold to businesses. For a very long time, like 4 or 5 years. And it's basically – it's crazy. I think they demoed it on 24 or something last year, right? It was on 24. Yeah, it was a tie-in product.
Yep.
Basically what they do is they come to your office. They take over a conference room. They put in half a table up against the wall and there's some screens up where the other side of the table would be. They paint the room a very special color that makes people's skin tone look right.
Oh, my God.
Like the most skin tones look the most right
yeah.
When under fluorescent lighting on camera. And they provide software and a service to connect you and other businesses and other locations for your business. So this is like a big company thing.
Right, right, right.
So if you have like offices in India and North America and Europe.
Skype video conferencing in a box.
No. Don't say Skype, because here's the thing. The video is 1080p. Mm-hmm. It looks – I mean, they have it all – they set the rooms up right so that the proportions on the screen make the people look the same size as they would be if they were sitting across a table from
right,
you.
Right, so it's like you both have half of a table.
Right.
And it looks like you see
half of the table, you know, on their thing in front of you.
But between this and the Kinect, that's we are amazing. 75% to Minority Report's pre-crime lab.
Well, except for the seeing into the future part.
That's the last 25%.
That's the missing piece.
No, we don't have the ball machine. We don't have the thing that burns the name into the ball.
We have a MakerBot.
And then it rolls down.
We
have the MakerBot, which is the ball machine. We have the Kinect, which is the gesture thing.
Yeah.
And with the telepresence, so we get the three you know, judges to confirm.
Yes.
All we need now is the psychic.
Oh.
What were they called?
They're precogs.
The precogs. Yeah, let's get kids. Let's go buy a pool.
No.
buy a kiddie pool.
Guys, find some autistic kids right now.
Get some parents amped up on drugs and steal
milk.
Their children.
Lots of milk.
I don't know why your mind went there.
That's the story.
Amped up on drugs?
Yeah.
The precogs were the children, were the sons and daughters of drugged up parents.
Right. Yeah.
Of future drugs.
Future drugs.
We're in the future. We got drugs.
They're little crack babies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't. Is that why they were?
Why did they have to go to crack babies?
Well, Norm's the one who's
they were on like
kidnapped children.
They were on temporal growth hormone.
Okay, so anyway, back on point here. The UMI.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
The UMI is the also the thing I haven't. No, that's uni.
Okay.
and it's urchin, actually, not even fish. I don't remember what I was going to say now. This thing, when they'd come in to do this in businesses, it cost like hundreds of thousands of dollars to outfit these in all of the locations around the world for your business.
Okay.
Naturally, I'm not going to pay $100,000 and give up a room in my house that they can paint this weird color orange just so I can show the grandparents what the kid looks like without them having to fly across the country.
Okay.
However,
you might pay.
The dudes that built this were like, hey, technology gets cheaper, and what used to require like a cluster of five computers now works on an iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. So they miniaturized everything. They, you know, turned it from something that required like two PCs and some really expensive cameras into something that required a moderately expensive camera and some, you know, embedded technology, whatever.
Right.
And they built a thing that goes on top of your TV set.
Sweet. But how much does it cost?
What would you pay per location?
I know how much it is, but I'll give you an
example. Can we play the game?
Right? Yeah, let's play the game.
So if you can right now use iChat, Skype, or FaceTime to call your loved ones around the world and see what they look like on a small screen or at low resolution for free, how much would you pay to get that same convenience at 1080p per location?
Well, heck, you know.
Would you buy a $100 webcam on it?
That's a pretty nice webcam I get for $100.
That must be a nice webcam.
That's $150 webcam.
You pay $150, Norman Chan?
Yeah,
Would you pay $250? Is that too expensive?
You're talking to iPod Touch territory.
What do I get with?
Would you pay $500?
I don't know.
I get a lot of photos of my grandpa for that.
Would you pay $600?
That's insane.
$600.
Get out of my house.
I can hire SuperDave to do a surrogate. Telepresence.
Yes. $25 a month.
$25 a month and $600.
Was SuperDave on Arrested Development?
SuperDave was on Arrested Development.
SuperDave Osborne?
SuperDave Osborne was on Arrested Development.
He's got to be like 100.
As Grandpa Bluth's telepresence guy who walked around with a webcam and repeated everything he said on the headphone.
Was that the last season?
No, it was like second season.
Well, you know what I would want for that much money?
A cake?
Astral projection.
I don't want astral projections.
I would like
that. That's spooky.
It'd be like Obi-Wan.
Give me 2 more months with the Fushigi.
Then you'll be able to do an astral projection with the Fushigi.
Norm can almost do the Bowie thing now.
Wow. Ooh,
Bowie.
Cool.
Bowie, can you hear me? So $600 and $25 a month is my understanding on Cisco's UMI.
But the people
device.
In the press photos look so happy.
Well, of course, that's because they were getting paid to be there.
That's right.
Yeah. Or they're children of employees, one or the other.
I bet they were paid less than that thing costs.
Okay, so I'm going to
for that day of work.
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Having seen the telepresence stuff in action, it is fucking awesome.
The table thing sounds like something I would pay a lot of money just to see.
Would you pay $100,000 for that?
No.
Okay.
I'd pay $50 to see it for 5 minutes.
Okay. That's I'll give you give me $50. I can make that happen.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. I might not even charge you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really impressive when they do the full setup. I haven't seen Umi in operation.
Umi sounds terrible.
It's kind of a bad name also while we're talking about bad names.
It's Umi with a line over the U.
Sounds foreign.
That makes it worse, right? I mean, I guess it is Cisco and they are super multinational, so they have to make sure that it works in all languages. They don't have any Chevy Nova situations.
I love the Chevy Nova.
But basically, yeah, it's $600 is pricing it for small businesses. Okay. So like the place that Norm and I used to work, Future, 250, 300 people in the US, another 1,000 in the UK. We used to spend a lot of time using really shitty telepresence stuff, but would never pay $100,000 per room to put those in each of the offices.
$600
plus $25 a month, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, that's a piece of cake for a 500-person business.
Yeah. But I mean, is it going to be what is going to be offered that much better an experience than using cheap
than using Skype?
Well, I don't know.
Well, so here's the thing. You have a 60-inch flat screen TV in your living room hanging on the wall.
Okay.
This gives you native resolution of that, right? So it's better than what we're putting on our website, just to be perfectly clear.
I just wonder how much that adds to productivity.
I don't think it's about productivity in this. Well, I mean
what's, it's for work.
This is a consumer product is what they're selling.
Well, that's
to these
even
people.
Crazier.
I mean, the argument for using that as a productivity tool is it's better than being on the phone because it's you do that instead of flying people from New York to London or from London to LA or San Francisco all the time.
Right.
That's like the business guy reason to do that. So if you look at your business and you see you're spending $2 million on plane tickets just to go visit people in the home office, then you spend $200,000 and have this put in both the offices.
Nah.
The economics don't work on a family scale at $600 per unit.
No.
A, because you have to have already this infrastructure. You have to have a pretty good TV. You want a big 1080p TV if you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not that expensive to fly people across the country for the most part. The other thing is I don't think people like teleconferencing.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
I don't think people even really like Skype that much.
Like even if this is so good compared to what people expect from teleconference stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a tainted, tainted kind of category of product.
Yeah.
Because they're used to, you know, the kind of stop motion Skype thing or, I mean, even iChat, which is better but not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're, you know, kind of going to be nervous about spending $600 or actually $1,200 to put this in the grandparents' house. And I mean, what somebody needs to do is do like local telepresence centers in strip malls around the country. So you can like drop the kids off, you know, so you only have to buy one, right?
Hmm.
So you have one in your living room, you want to spend the money, and then you tell the grandparents to go to the mall at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, you'll call them.
Okay, I guess
that might be crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's getting complicated.
Anyway, Umi, not for consumers. Small businesses are going to buy it. It'll eventually get cheaper, I think.
All right.
Norm's asleep.
I'm not asleep. I have coffee.
Okay. Third time's the charm. Is that a phrase that you guys have heard before?
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Norm?
I don't like waking for a third time. Second time's always a charm. First time's always a charm.
Wall Street Journal has at least three times in the last year said, hey, iPhone's coming to Verizon.
Mm.
Not so much each time. Yesterday. Yes, their source is unnamed, informed people. Experts. Who was their source? I don't remember.
Steve Jobs.
Oh, unsubstantiated rumors on the homepage of WallStreetJournal.com.
Someone who was briefed on the matter.
Hey, Norm, you want to hear about Verizon iPhone?
Sure, tell me.
I'm going to brief you right now.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Will said it. You heard it here first.
You're calling it?
Yeah.
Will's calling it right now. No Verizon iPhone until?
Hell freezes over?
So ever. You're saying ever.
I think that it is highly unlikely that Verizon's going to do it. I mean, here's the thing. The LTE network that's rolling out this December is tempting, right? Because that gives, you know, Apple a fast – I mean, because the knock against Verizon right now, and our testing showed it too, is that the Verizon network is pretty slow.
Mm.
I mean, it's reliable but slow, kind of like a Volvo.
What?
So they're hitting this hard. There's another story right now. After the Verizon iPhone, what is next? And they
after saying that hasn't come out yet.
And they stayed in the first line. Apple is making an iPhone that will be sold by Verizon early next year. The Journal reported Wednesday afternoon. So what is next? Yeah,
Well, notice they changed the story a couple times.
Four times, I think, yesterday.
The first story was that iPhone is making, or Apple's making an iPhone that Verizon will sell. So Apple's making a CDMA phone, which I think everyone expects them to, because CDMA is a big market. It doesn't necessarily need to be Verizon. But they changed it to say Verizon will sell, you know, the iPhone.
Yes, it started out as could sell because it was a CDMA. But then I think somebody was like, hey, nobody else does CDMA except for Verizon and Sprint in the world. So, I mean, Apple can't make a fucking white iPhone. How are they going to switch to CDMA all of a sudden?
Let's put over under. I'm going to say Verizon iPhone by 2012.
Well, that's okay, maybe.
I'm going to say it'll be up by Christmas.
I'm going to say after 2011.
I'm going to say Xmas.
Xmas 2011?
Xmas 2010.
Not that you're oh.
Okay, I'm taking the gap. Okay. I'll take the gap bet. I say sometime in 2011.
Okay.
See, that is
what?
That's going away from when hell freezes over.
Well, but this is a sucker bet. I got a whole year. There's no way I'm not taking that. Okay, I mean, this rumor has come up over and over again. The Wall Street Journal has reported it at least three times.
Third time's a charm.
I mean, I don't know who the fuck the one person familiar with the matter is. And I mean, this is just – I mean, if you don't have a source – and you don't – I mean, you can't verify it multiple places. And since everybody that works in Silicon Valley likes to talk about this, I mean, I hear, well, my brother-in-law drives the bus takes people from the Apple campus to the airport. And the other day, a couple guys were on there talking about going to meet with Verizon. So I figure that means there's got to be a Verizon iPhone. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a Verizon iPad.
Ooh.
That wouldn't be – that's not out of the question.
There's no contract there.
No. I mean, and that kind of makes sense. It's a proven product at this point. Nobody else is coming up with anything that looks super compelling. I mean, the tab's interesting, but it's not – like it all hinges on the quality of that browser and the apps. And the apps for Android aren't really there yet, and the browser is not so hot. So, you know, I don't think that that's a product that's going to light the market on fire. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a Verizon iPad next year. I think no iPhone next year. I'll take your bet, Norm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other rumor, big rumor today.
Big rumor.
Yesterday, Microsoft in talks with Adobe.
What?
Conversation was brought up that Microsoft might want to buy Adobe for $15 billion.
Damn, that'd be kind of interesting.
No. Microsoft. Well, this is an anti-Apple thing, right? This is the fight the red menace. And by red, I mean Macintosh.
Yeah, Adobe's kind of red too.
It's true. I think they're greener now, though, right? They have the little green. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Is this going to happen? Yes, no?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Adobe is they're not struggling financially. I mean, they're not making as much money as they were maybe 2 years ago. But they are in such a shaky place with Flash on mobile and that Flash does not run well on mobile that I think Microsoft picking them up could look very bad and could hurt Adobe. And and the confidence in Microsoft not fucking it up is very low.
I mean, the interesting thing about this is that like 10 years ago, there was talk about Microsoft buying Adobe and it stopped because they were sure that there'd be antitrust regulations. Microsoft losing massive amounts of market share in these new markets and Google and Apple coming to prominence has opened the door for them to acquire a whole bunch of companies that they would have never been able to before. And Microsoft has a lot of cash. So it's kind of an interesting situation.
They do have a lot of cash and they only bought one company so far this year and that was like a week ago.
Yeah, so –
They buy really small companies with patents.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting, but I think we might see the beginning of a Microsoft that's doing more I think we might be seeing the beginning of an Apple. Fuck me. I think we might be seeing the beginning of a Microsoft that's doing acquisitions more for products and companies than patent portfolio purposes, which is what they've done the last 5 or 6 years.
Holy shit. I got IE6 on my iPad.
Wow. That seems like a mistake.
How'd you do that? What?
Is that an app? This is a special web
JavaScript.
Page. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
This is the IE6 experience.
That's pretty much it right
lots
there. This is a great segment again for the people at home. Paint a word picture.
I'm getting the Internet Explorer has experienced a problem, needs to close.
Okay.
Sorry for the inconvenience pop-up, but as I move it around, all it does is create more pop-ups across the screen. This is giving me
your browser is going to crash.
I'm going to this is like 1997 all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Facebook groups rolled out this week. Do we care? I mean, is Facebook – I know a lot of people are on Facebook and all, but do not care. Yeah. I mean, groups – people can sign you up for groups now. Is that the way it works?
Well, you can put people in your group. You can make a group called Honest Friends, and then you'll put, you know, Norm and Will in it. So then on your guys' pages, it'll say
– nobody puts Norm in a group.
It'll say Will – you know, it'll just say Will just joined Honest Friends, or Will is now in Honest Friends. So you could do a hilarious thing like somebody did to Mark Zuckerberg, where somebody made up a group called Nambla.
Nice.
And put Mark Zuckerberg in it so that he got a little thing that said Mark Zuckerberg is now in Nambla.
Of course, the only bad part of that is that you have to be in the Nambla group too.
Well, yes, but that's part of the joke. Uh-huh. But anyway, it seems dumb.
It's their way of fixing lists. They did a whole press conference yesterday where no one ever uses lists. I certainly don't use them on Twitter, don't use them on Facebook. 5% of people use lists. They're trying to create a product that will address 95% of the other 95% of their users. They say it's intuitive in that it'll be, you know, they'll use software to give you recommendations, all that jazz. I don't really care. I don't really care about Facebook. Only time I go on Facebook is to delete tweets that I sometimes don't want to have on Facebook.
So I just went and looked at my group page. I have been invited to join an exclusive group by a young lady named Jenny Cole, who's she posted a picture in her bathing suit and seems to be a stewardess.
Oh, whoa!
I suspect this may be spam, but she wants me to join an exclusive free HGTV and laptop offers group.
Oh, man.
Congratulations, me.
Take it.
Ignore. I logged into Facebook today for the first time in about 3 weeks. It's useless. It has become almost entirely valueless.
Yeah.
For me, as a way to communicate with my friends, I just use Twitter.
I like it.
140 characters.
I think its most valuable thing is events. I think events on Facebook are really great.
It's like Evites
without the annoyances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ubuntu something something Meerkat, whatever, Mighty Meerkat or Magnificent Meerkat or
Timon.
Timon
a Meerkat?
I'm just going to call it Timon.
Timon's a Meerkat.
Yeah, man.
Or was he the pig?
Pumbaa's
the pig?
My Lion King and Timon was the Meerkat.
Okay, can you sing the song?
Hakuna Matata.
There we go. I mean, that's good. It's coming out this Sunday. If you like Linux, check it out. It's going to be Ubuntu-y.
There's a new UI for netbooks, so... If you are still one of those people who have netbooks, definitely get this.
Is it a netbook edition? Is it separate in netbook edition or is it this?
You just go to Ubuntu and you just download the netbook version.
Android sales overtaking. Android is overtaking the world. BlackBerry's down. iPhone is even. Android is up. Do we care? Is it exciting? Is this a good topic?
I don't know.
Is anyone out there? Can you hear me?
I don't know anything about those.
No, move on to concrete news.
That's it. That's all I got.
Mailbag.
Yay.
I'm going to play some music right now. Play into music. Can we talk about we can talk about Minecraft in a minute. Hold on. Right now, even as we speak, I am opening the Tested mailbag. If you have a question for us, you can send it to podcast@tested.com. As always, keep your questions short. Let us know a little bit about where you are from, because we like to know more about you guys. So the first question comes to us live from a dude named John.
Hi, John.
John DeSanto says, "Hey, Will, Norm, and hopefully Anno and or Gary.
Woot.
I'm only 22 years old, but I've always been fascinated by vintage computers. I was just wondering, what was your first home computer? Or if you didn't have a home computer, where did you first encounter personal computing? Personally, I have some very faint memories of having a Commodore 64 while I was growing up, as well as seeing old Apple IIe computers at school." Norm, go first.
I used a Mac in fourth grade where I could play games like World of the Worlds, Carmen Sandiego, and Sherlock Holmes. And then my first personal computer was a 4650.
DX or SX?
DX.
Oh, nice. 50. Math coprocessor for the win.
And 8 megabits of RAM where I play games like TIE Fighter, Lemmings, and even Star Wars Rebel Assault.
Ooh. Two.
Rebel Assault 1.
I liked Rebel Assault
with the CD
too.
And all the FMV and all the
stuff. Yeah, I had CDs. I had SimCity.
SimCity 2000?
SimCity 2000.
That was money, SimCity.
Yep.
You could do Windows sewers, 2.1. Subways. Those were the days. Anna?
I don't remember the model, but I was around second or third grade, and it was, you know, MS-DOS. It had a floppy drive. Not the little floppies, the big floppies.
The five and a quarter.
Yeah. So what was that? That's some old stuff.
Right? Oh, floppies. Hold on. That big?
Well, no. Like that.
Five and a quarter.
Yeah, five and a quarter.
Yeah, those were like 1 megabyte discs.
And I had some games like Rescue Rover, and Day of the Turkle, and just like Tentacle? Weird. No, not Day of the Tentacle. That came later. But
did you guys ever play the turtle game where you draw with the turtle and you type in codes?
I think that was Lotus 1-2-3.
What was the name of that game where it was a white turtle in the middle of the screen and you type in coordinates and how far it should walk and turn, how many degrees it can turn, and it draws.
Your parents bought you crappy educational software. Like it was awesome stuff.
All schools. Also, there was a computer that the Gorillas game where you threw – it was basically Scorched Earth, but you type in coordinates. It was a Q-basic game.
My first computer was a TI-99/4A in like 1984, probably 83. And you could put cartridges in it with games or programs. Like there was a basic cartridge. And you could type programs in from magazines, which was crazy. Or you could also take a cassette tape player, plug that in, and it would make modem noises and transfer data across that cord. But it never, ever worked very well.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess my first PC was like a 386 SX25, something like that, that could play – I guess it played Wolf but not Doom. So it was a little bit sad for me when Doom came out. I was like, shit, my computer's too slow. I got to get more. It had 2 megabytes of memory though. That was huge back
then. That's awesome.
And an 80-megabyte hard drive, I think. So you could install all of like Doom on that computer. It was pretty amazing. So yeah. Anyway, first computers. If you tell us about your first computer, I'm kind of interested to see where you guys got started.
Yeah, first games too. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, first game for me was M1 Tank Platoon, I think, which was like a Hercules monochrome kind of game where it was just like a bunch of lines and shaded textures and stuff like that. It was really, I mean, that was the first PC game.
Yeah.
I guess the first computer game was probably Parsec.
Mine was Hercule and Rescue Rover. I'm very curious if anybody else had ever played those games. It's like you get from like the dime bin. You know, just like tons of game discs that I guess maybe people just made themselves. That I don't know if they were mass distributed.
See, we didn't have that kind of stuff in Tennessee. Because that was probably all like nerds and Bay Area nerds posting shit and taking it down. It was like a swap meet kind of situation. Please, this is a plasma TV question coming at us from Robert Brittain. Hey, Tested, Anna included, as she is now officially part of the podcast.
What up, y'all?
A few months back, I purchased my – I don't want to say anything there, but
it's my Oakland roots coming out.
Okay, go back to O-Town.
Yeah,
taking it all the way over to O-Town.
Throwing up some signs.
So Robert says, a few months back, I purchased my first plasma screen TV, a Panasonic Viera S2 50-inch, and have decided to finally get off my lazy butt and calibrate this thing. Hmm. I primarily use the TV for games, about 90% of its use, and have been looking for a good calibration guide. Is there a place that specializes in calibration for gaming, or failing that, a place that has a really good guide in general for someone who is very new to this? My last TV was a 21-inch CRT that was as old as me. Rob from Toronto, Canada.
Interesting question.
Well, there's a couple things you can do. There's discs you can buy in the store that are okay, and they'll walk you through a whole bunch of stuff that like make sure you have the aspect ratio and brightness and contrast and all that stuff set up right. They're relatively easy to use. It's a good idea to do the calibration stuff because most TVs from the factory come like super color saturated and look really bad in the real world. I mean, they look nice in the store because kind of in the store, it's a situation where they're trying to like catch as many eyes as – I mean, you know, you've walked into Best Buy and you see the – it's you're looking at shit that's shiny basically. Yeah. You're monkeys. So Display Essentials is what that's called. It's a pretty good place to start. If you want to get a little fancier than that, then there's professional calibration services, and there's a giant thread on the AVS forum. So just Google AVS forum. I think it's avsforum.com, but it might be .net, where they have a list of like calibration experts in local areas. And I think it's ICT calibration is what those guys recommend. They know better than I do. So I mean, the bad news is that costs like $300. If you just spend a lot of money on a TV, then you're probably okay spending that. And it's something that lasts for a fairly long time, especially with no moving parts TVs like LCDs and plasmas and stuff like that. Anybody have anything else to add?
I certainly don't know how to answer that question. Don't use motion blur.
Yes, don't use motion blur.
Although actually on games, maybe it's okay. Questions?
The next question is from James Olson. James says, OMG, guys, I really enjoy your show, but your fanboy, and he spelled it with an I, so
ooh,
minus
I like
points,
this guy already.
is showing again. I was halfway impressed when you tried to explain the Zune Pass until you four to the end and went all whiny about DRM. Mm-hmm. While, yes, you
four
can.
To the end?
I don't know what that means.
Anna?
What did I want to look at it. Keep going.
Until you F-O-R-T-O the end. He just typoed. While yes, you can choose to keep your 10 songs on DRMWMA files, but you could use it on the 75% of the Zune catalog that is DRM-free MP3s. Furthermore, if you brought the same song 10 songs through iTunes, you would have had to spend $13.90 to get the same quality. Because the Zune uses a higher quality bitrate for their songs that Apple reserves for iTunes Plus purchases. Thanks for the entertainment, James. Okay, so I learned a couple of things last week when we got a lot of hate mail about this. One, I did not realize that Zune was offering the free downloads that come with the pass as DRM free MP3s, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think, from what I've been able to ascertain as not a subscriber, that you can actually convert stuff that you've downloaded in the past in WMA form, which sucks, to MP3. But still, I mean, that's fine. The thing about bitrate is patently it's not correct, because the Apple, I mean, we did bitrate comparison tests at MaxPC. Basically, you know, different codecs have different bit rates for the same kind of relative quality level. And when you do listening tests, then 128-bit MP3 lines up with a little bit lower, 128-bit AAC, which is what Apple uses, lines up with a little bit lower quality, higher bit rate MP3.
128 kbps.
Yeah, 128 kbps AAC is like roughly equivalent to like a 160 kbps MP3 is I think what we found out. I can't remember exactly. The upshot is I don't recommend buying from either place. I say go to Amazon, get your lame encoded high quality MP3s if you're going to buy digital music. Anybody out? Bueller? Anybody going to sign up for a Zune Pass in here since we're all super fans?
Anna tried to, but she's on a Mac.
Oh, you're on a Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah, no Mac.
Ryan, you know, tweeted some lols.
He sure did. He said, lol, 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 you can't.
Yeah. Last question for today is coming to us from Brendan Young. He says,
hi, Brendan.
Hey, Will, Norm, Anna, and maybe Gary.
Yeah.
Love the show. Never stop.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I was wondering if any of you have heard of or played around with Ubiquiti add-on for Firefox. It's pretty cool. MozillaLabs.com/Ubiquiti. I'm going to go look and see which one this is because I can't remember the names.
Yeah, I've
used this.
What is it?
Yeah, it's the natural language thing. So you type like go to Amazon's MP3 page and it'll take you to Amazon's MP3 page.
Well, doesn't
and
Google
stuff like
already
that.
Do that?
Yes. I think that's maybe why they don't really do it that much anymore, because it seems like it is a community-maintained project at this point.
So people are actually putting in search terms?
Yeah. So this was a Mozilla Labs product. So it's kind of like Google Labs, whatever. Everybody does like their experimental, we're not going to support this shit as a lab now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ubiquiti, I'm looking at a blog post from February that says, hey, this was an experiment. Not necessarily going to make it a product. We concluded the experiment in 29. It was a success in that by doing it, we learned a lot about the power and pitfalls of linguistic interfaces for the web.
Huh.
Focusing our attention on other experiments, it's not over, but if there's a phase two, it'll be at some point in the indefinite future, which says to me that, yes, it's probably over.
Yeah. Well, I'll check it out. It sounds kind of interesting.
I don't know if you can install it on current versions of Firefox.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Locked it every turn.
So, so that's the tested – this is only a test Q&A section. If you have a question for us on This Is Only a Test Q&A section, you can send it to podcast@tested.com, and we may or may not answer it on the air.
Get rid of the sections. Let's call it Q&A.
This has been the – no, okay. We'll do it next week. Remind me next week. And we're almost certainly going to forget this next week, so I'll call it mailbag again then.
No.
So I guess that does it for us this week.
It's called mailsack.
Mailsack is – are we
going to – I don't approve of that.
Which way are we going to spell it? Because we could make it really bad instead of just awful.
I'm sure somewhere is mailsack.com.
Sequel that to
Ron. Okay, good show this week. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening. And, be awesome. Oh, Minecraft. Shit. Oh, we'll do outtakes.
Oh,
hold on.
Minecraft.
Hold on. Wait. Gonna play the music. Playing the music.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
That's it.
Sometimes we do stuff that's awesome. Sometimes we do stuff that's just dumb and stupid.
That's it. Minecraft.
We dug a big ass tunnel the other night.
I heard
you hired some slave laborers.
I didn't hire slave labor. I was digging my tunnel. No, no, no.
Recruited some you using your charisma plus 10, you lured five or six people.
Who are they? I bet I know some of them.
So here's, I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay.
I was, as is my way in Minecraft, toiling away in my underground cavern.
Okay.
It's such a Tom Sawyer thing to do, by the way.
Hold on.
I'm painting his fans. It sure is fun to paint
Everybody
a fans.
Everybody wants to hang out with Will. He's a celebrity in Minecraft.
I'm not comfortable with this line of discussion. But I'm down there digging.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden some dude just shows up. And he's like, hey, what you doing? I was like, hey, I'm digging a tunnel. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to Chestopia and Points Beyond. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, you want some help? I was like, I mean, okay.
Wait, so where
And actually, he didn't even say, do you want some help? He just started digging. I was like, hey, you're kind of going the wrong direction, dude. I want to go kind of diagonal. Okay. It's like 3x3, right?
So you dug like way down and then you started digging.
So I started in my secret underwater layer.
Oh, okay. I see. So you're already below the water.
I was already below the water. And I had started – I cheated. I got mags to spawn me some TNT.
Ooh.
So I was blowing out the land above
really
my
cheating.
Glass tunnel.
That is the cheatiest cheat I've ever heard.
Well, it ended up being more of a pain in the ass because once you get into bedrock, it only blows out a 9-square section.
Okay.
So it's easier to just dig at that point.
Yeah. 9-square section is exactly what you want, though.
Well, not what I want. My initial goal was to make it look like there was a path floating through a natural cavern.
Hmm.
But I realized that was going to take a ridiculous amount of time to do. So I modified it to a 3x3 grid.
Okay.
So we basically went diagonal until we thought we were kind of online for Testopia. And then just went crazy and just kept digging. And I think we ended up digging for about 4 hours.
Damn.
Like we went over to a zombie
That's
spawn
crazy.
Pit.
Ew.
So like at one point we're like, shit, there's just nothing but space down there. So I chucked a torch down there and there were a whole shitload of zombies in a spawn. They're all going,
wow, that would have
So we put glass over that.
Yeah.
So you can see it now.
You can see waterfalls.
Yeah.
See other caves.
Like waterfalls, some lava here and there.
That sounds amazing. I want to go see
It's pretty
that.
Rad. I mean, the bad part is it takes 10 minutes to walk from end to end.
If you throw some dynamite in that zombie spawn pit, can you get just like mad whatever zombie drops?
No, because we can't kill anything on the server.
Oh,
they're like
of
the chickens.
No, but you can kill things that catch on fire. I've gotten
oh, really?
Like pieces of bacon and stuff from pigs that
yeah.
light on fire. In fact, I was thinking about
oh, fuck
making,
yeah,
making a big
zombies.
Fire pit just to get spiders in because I want some cloth.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, we should have like a barbecue pit.
Well, there's a spider spawn down there too. So we hit a skeleton spawn, a spider spawn, and the zombie spawn.
I want to go check out that.
There's a bunch of waterfalls. There's like a lake that goes kind of underneath the path at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out into yet another – I hesitate to say anything about it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I thought you weren't going to mention that. I thought this was going to be the awesome town.
Well, they have to find
Testopia
the tunnel.
Is kind of like, you know, kind of infiltrated. It's like the Amazon's island.
It's like how people say that that tourists ruin the Hamptons.
Fucking
yeah. Creating their big signs and sky bridges. I love Testopia. Don't ever leave. Please don't leave.
Like
yeah.
Testopia.
So the thing is about Norm Chantinople.
Norm Chantinople.
I've never actually been to
Norm Chantinople. Norm hasn't made the walk yet.
I'm gonna. Go.
Is that if, so far? Norm Chantinople is mostly a place to put giant signs with people's names.
That's not cool.
So it's kind of like the valley. It's you know remember on Super Friends when like Lex Luthor would have some plot and he would steal the Statue of Liberty and. You know, the Space Needle and the Eiffel Tower and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is turning into.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to make – are you going to be like the landmark
I'm not
beach?
In charge of this. Why are you asking
Oh,
me?
I don't know. I guess – well, it seemed like you commandeered
I'm
expedition.
Just, no, it was my expedition. They commandeered
you're
me.
You're just jealous so it's not Onopolis.
I'm a little –
Onopolis.
Onopolis is something I used to call my SimCity fills.
I'm building a giant 4,000-foot-high will above the sign that says Norm Chantinople.
Really?
Yeah.
A drawing of you or the word
no,
will?
No, just the word will because I can't do a drawing of me.
Hmm.
I'm going to add a T in front of that.
Well, that's not very nice.
Wilt?
Oh, twill.
With twill. Two? Oh, twill.
Is it about cloth? Keeping it clothy. Okay. What have you guys been doing in Minecraft? Anything?
Minecraft? No. Minecraft, my stupid, Minecraft. Extremely Minecraft. Uninteresting one-level house in the sky. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to keep people out of it while still being able to access it myself. So I made a rope ladder. I think I'm going to try to make it so you can climb up some trees and then get to the rope ladder.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Halloween update?
No. Well, I've been on there since yesterday, but I haven't noticed any updates.
Well, it's on his website.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's not actually out yet.
Yeah, there's like going to be a hell area.
Right, I did hear about that. And torches are going to burn out now, which I don't like.
I'm anti that. But I think that's just a temporary thing.
Hope so.
Although maybe not. I'd have to replace a lot of lanterns in the tunnel to Norm Chantinople.
Yeah, it seems like that would just be so horrible because everybody's made all their monuments that glow in the dark. Yeah. And it's like, that would suck if it all went mistake. Out.
What are you been up to, Norm? Just exploring?
Exploring.
Seeing what people are building?
Just walking the earth.
Best thing you've seen?
You
see Raleigh's underground?
Oh, no, I like the –
I don't want to talk about that too much, though.
Yeah, okay, yes. I've seen some interesting things, some things I don't want to share because
– Secret things.
Secret
deep layers. Of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good talk, guys.
Yep.
Thanks. See you all next week.
Bye.
I'll pause it.